With the parsha, then we'll switch on to Gemara.
In the beginning of parsha's Shoftim, we have the mitzvah of Hamaras Dayanim, and it's quoted at the beginning of Chosha Mishpat. It's a mitzvah to appoint the Bezdin in every city in Eretz Yisrael, B'chali Avir. In Kutzlar, the mitzvah is only to appoint Dayanim, to have a Bezdin in every region, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's a mitzvah to have in every city. So the very first Nesiva, Simen Aleph Sivkot Naleph, raises the question whether this mitzvah applies Bisman Hazem in HaTorah or only mid the Rabbonah. What's the question? Because there is a Gemara in Gittin, learning Gittin this year. There is a Gemara towards the end of Gittin, Daf, I think, Peches on the base, if I'm not mistaken. Peches on the base. Abai was a Talmud of Rav Yosef. So right in the middle of Peches on the base, Abaye was learning by Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef forced the husband to give a get to his wife. There are certain cases where the Mishnayos say in Ksubis that the Bezdin will be kai for the husband if he's acting very unfairly towards his wife. He kai for the husband to give a get. So Abai asked him, but there's a bright, we don't have any smicha in Chutz Lords. You can't confer any smicha. Unless you go there until you get smicha, then you go to Chutz Lords, so the smicha doesn't evaporate. You can function Chutz Lords also. But they couldn't travel back and forth. It was too expensive. So Abai, Rabbi Yosef, all the Amoraim in Bavel, they didn't have any smicha. So the din is, Eila Mishpatam Shatosim Lefneim, Lefneim V'loi Lefnei Had Yoytais, we darshan. Had Yot means one who doesn't have smicha, even if he's very learned. You have to have smicha in order to be allowed to be koyfet people. That's how the Gemara says in the first parak in Sanhedrin. Why does it say Eila Mishpatam Asher Tosim? Why is the word Sima used? It should say Eila Mishpatam Asher Telamdeim. So the Gemara understands Sima goes on Eila Klei Hadayonim. The Bezdin has a right to force people to keep mitzvah. The person doesn't want to eat matzah, doesn't want to sit in sukkah, doesn't want to wear tefillin. So they beat him up to make sure that he does the mitzvah. We can't do it today because the whole world is crazy, but we can't do that. But when you have Sharon Ketikunam, Bezdin is Koyf Ala Mitzvah. So that's only Eila Mishpatim Ashatosim goes on Klei Hadayonim to be Koyfed people to do mitzvahs, to be Koyfed the husband to give a get when he's acting improperly. So that's only Lifneim. It's only Lifneim, Lo Lifnei Hadyotis. A non Musmuch is not allowed to be Koyfed. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef answers, even though we don't have any smicha, we can function as shlichusayu. We can function as the shluchim of the rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael who do have smicha. What about b'zman hazeh? Nobody in the world has any smicha. So how can we be shluchim? So the Rishonim have an expression: we are shluchim de kamoi. We are the shluchim of the Talmid HaChachamim who died 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, who did have smicha. Yeah, this is, so that's a big machloek, so the Nesiva, Sim and Al, Zagot and Al, Kvotz and Machloek, is Toysvus and the Rashba, where the Shlichosai was a Dinder Aisa, a Dinder Rabbanon. Rashba thinks it is just a Dinder Rabbanon, and it only works in Didi Mamadis, and it wouldn't work by Gerus, Toysvus on the Daf, Toysvus there in Gitna, and other places, Toysvus raised the question, how do we have the ability to be mekabel gerim mizman hazeh? The Gemara learns that, the Gemara Yevamos and the sugya of geris learns that from a pasuk that you need a bezdin to supervise, to oversee the geris of a non-Jew who wants to convert. So we don't have any bezdin mizman hazeh, nobody has any smicha. The Torah says, shlichasai kavdinon. Just as shlichasai gives us the ability to be kaifet, to give gittin, so too shlichasai gives us the ability to be mekabel gerim. And the Rashba asks on the Tosa of Shlichasayu is only a din mid Rabbanu, doesn't work min HaTorah. According to the Rashba, I don't understand how can you be kaifal a get. The Rashba has to explain something. Here the Gemara says it works by a get. The Rashba thinks that Shlichasayu only works in dini moment. It's based on Hefker Bezna Hefker. It doesn't work in the areas of Isa Veheter, because Shlichasayu is just a malitza. It's only mid Rabbanu. But the Tosa obviously thinks that Shlichasayu works min HaTorah. So that's what the Nesivis points out. Simon Alas and Katan Aleph, it's a machlekes, Tosfos in the Rashba, whether Shlichus Hai works there, I said the Rabbanan. So therefore, there'll be a machlekes whether the mitzvah of Hamoras Dayonim, Bisman Hazeh, works men atarim in the Rabbanan. How can it be? The Chasam Sefer has a tshuva where he talks about this. The Chasam Sefer obviously didn't have a Chidush Haran on Sanhedrin because he says the exact same pshat as the Ram without quoting it. And the Ram quotes this in the name of the Ramban, the very beginning of Sanhedrin. He says, you learn from the Pasuk, Eilam Mashpatam Shatosim Lifneihem, from that word Lifneihem, Velo Lifneihed Yotos, you learn out two halachas. Number one, that there's an Iser. It's prohibited for a non-samuch to act as if he's a bezin. The lashon that the Ran quotes from the Ramban is that the hedyot, the non-samuch, is neitel kisron shel hasmuchim. He's taking the crown. He's acting as if he's like impersonating an officer. If you make believe that you're a policeman and you're not, that's a crime. See, here he's acting as if he's a samuch and he's not a samuch. There's an Iser. And then number two, there's a psul. If you have a din Torah, even though the three dayarim are big Tamir Chacham, they don't have smicha, so the bezin is puzzle. So the Ramban says that the psul is a function of the Iser. If they violated the Iser of Lifneim, well, if they had Yotos, then the whole bezin will be puzzled. But if somehow or another you can patch up the Iser, there won't be an Iser to go to the Had Yotos, and there won't be a psul either. So he says. So the Ramban says that shlichusai kavdinan simply means that the smuchim are moichal on their kavod. If the moichal on their kavod, so there's no issa, no tol kisrim shalas smuchim. So whatever there's no issa, then there won't be a psul. So that's the explanation that the Ramban gives. The Ran b'shem Ramban, the first stop in Sanhedrin, to explain how shlichusai works. That's what the Chasam Sefer explains also, because he has the kasha. Can a Kohen appoint a non-Kohen as a shliach to do hakrovas hakarbonis for him? You have to be a Kohen. If you're not a Kohen, how can you say shliach asayim? A Talmud Chacham is going to appoint an Am Haaretz as a shliach, he should do the din Torah. He's not learned. How can he do the din Torah? You can't appoint a shliach. So and then furthermore, another kasha. The Gemara says shliach asayim kabdin. In the days of Rabbi Yosef, there was still smuchim in Eretz Yisrael. They can say that the Hedyotis, the Rabbanim, Talmid Chacham, Shebebavel, was Shluchim of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you can say it like that. How do we today function as Shluchos Ayis? And Tosfos and all the Mishnayim say, Shluchos Ayis de Kamoi Kavdin. We're Shluchim of the Talmid Chacham who died 1,500 years ago. You can function as a Shluch of a dead person. The Mishnah says in Gittin, a man, we're learning Gittin, no? Mishnah, the end of the first parakas. A man appoints a shlech to give a get to his wife, and the husband drops dead before the shlech gives a get. So the shlech can't give the get. It can't be megarish the woman after the mishalech died. The shlech ends already. Shlech ends. If the husband appoints a shlech to give a get, and the shlech rishon makes a shlech sheni, and the shlech rishon dies, so that's a different story. Shlech rishon can die, but once he appoints a shlech sheni, he's not the shlech of the shlech rishon. He's the shlech of the mishalech, he's the shlech of the baal, and the baal is still alive. But once the person died, once the mishalech died, so how can the shlechus be maintained? How can a kohen appoint a non-kohen to duchen for him? He doesn't have the qualification. So that's what the Ramban says in the Chasam Sefer, they say the same shot. That shlechus means that the chachamim are moichal on their kavod. Once the moichal on the kavod, it's a mele, there's no iser of lifneim lo lifneim adyot. Whenever there's no iser, then there's no psul. So that's an important point. Whether mina dayonim is mana says, the raisa, the rabbonim. In today's parsha, we have the din of yad ha'edim tiyah bo b'rishonim. Whenever someone is chayiv misa, it's a general din that the edim who testified that he did the avera and he deserves the onish, they're the ones who have to give him the onish misa. Some of the Mefarshim HaChumash explain why is that. This is one of the dinim of Mitam Hatzola. The Pasuk says in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Hitzilo Ho'edo, that in all cases of dinim Mefarshim, we should always try to bend over backwards to try to acquit the person who is being judged. So we have to tell the Edim before they testify on the case of dinim Mefarshim, keep in mind that if the Bezdin will declare that the guy's Chai Misa, you're going to have to give the Einish Misa. So make sure you tell the truth, because if not, you're going to be killing him. Not that you're going to tell us that he's Chai Misa and we're going to kill him. You're going to have to be the one. You have to aid him to Bar Rishayna. So if the Edom are not telling the truth, they'll think twice before they give Edom Shechem. The din of Yad Edom Tiri Bar Rishayna has three exceptions to the rule, but there's no din like that. One exception to the rule is Mesis. That's in Tere Seder. It says, the Nisas, Yotchotia Bar Rishayna. If one tried to convince someone else to worship Abba Rizara, and then the witnesses testify, Chai Misa. So the din is that it's a mitzvah b'yad ha-nisas lahargoy. You don't say yad ho-edim t'yid bar b'rishana. It makes good sense, because the Gemara says that even though a mesis needs a Sanhedrin of 23, the Mishnah and Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Beis points out there are asar chilukim, there are 10 differences between din mamonis and din nefashos. So one difference is mamonis is sufficient with a bezin of 3, and did in the Pashas and Ida Bezno 23. Then the other 9 differences between Mamanis and the Pashas are all based on the Hitzila Ho'edah. That in order to be Mechayiv Misa, you have to have a Rav of Shnayim. Let's say it's a split vote, it's 12 to 11. 12 and 11 is 23 Dayan. So if you have 12 Dayanim say that it's Chayiv Misa and 11 say it's Potter, that's not enough. You have to have at least a Rav of Shnayim to give Einish Misa. The other direction, to Patahem, if you have 12 say is Pater, and 11 say is Chayiv, so 12 say Pater, that's a Rav, so Rav is enough to Pater the person. But a Rav of Echad is not enough to be Mechayiv Misa. Then Gemara has it in Amalabetzchus, then you have, can you listen to Talmidim or not? A whole list of Chilukim between Mamas and Nefashas. So the 9 differences that are based on the Hitzilu Eidu do not apply to Mesis, because the Pasuk says, L'sachma v'l'sachasa olav. So the Pasuk means, don't have any Rachmanis, don't apply all the 9 Chilukim that are based on the Hitzilu, based on Hatzolah. And the same is true regarding Sharaniskal. Sharaniskal, Shosharagas ha'adam. So you need a Bezna of 23, Mises ha'banu kach misa, so you need a Bezna of 23. But the other 9 chilukim between Mamas and Nefashas do not apply. In Malkus, it's the reverse. Malkus is a machlekes satanoim. We paskin. Malkus is sufficient a bezna of 3. You don't need a bezna of 23. One Tana thinks you need a bezna of 23 because Malkus b'makam misa emetus. The fella really deserves misa. Anytime anybody does any aver, he deserves misa. The Torah gave him was mekel, that it's enough with Malkus. But since it's basically an Einish Aguf, so you should need a Bezna of 23. So we don't pass like that. We pass a Malkus is Begimel, but all the 9 Chilukim between Mamas and the Fashas do apply to Malkus, because the Dinim of Hatzolah do apply. And the 2 cases where you need 23, but you don't have the Dinim of Hatzolah, that's by Shorah Niskal. The Hitzilvet is only by Odom. And by the Mesis, because the Torah says Lasachma Vlasachasa Olov. Yeah, by the Mesis there's another Pasik. There's a unique din. The Gemara says Abu Atzrichim Hachroza. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Peites Amud Aleph. There are 4 Chayvi Mises that when the Bezdin administers the Misa, they send out in the news today. Every stupid piece of news hits the headline. You read the newspaper, they can have all the news from all over the world. But in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have a radio, a TV, so people didn't know. But when one was Chayiv Misa, one of the following 4 people was Chayiv Misa, that it's a mitzvah to do a hachroza, to let everybody know that so-and-so got the death penalty. The Pasuk says over here. So there are 4 people who need achroza. One of them is the Zotem Mamre, Eidem Zonimim, Ben Tzara Mora, and the Mesis. These are the 4 words. And the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that sometimes, not necessarily all the cases, sometimes the achroza would be, they would wait till everybody, how are you going to notify everybody? So today we would say, you put it on the news for a week, and you advertise that the person got the death penalty because he did this and this and there. carry Yesitut and all the newspapers in Eretz Yisrael, carry it, and all the languages, and let everybody know. In the days of the Bayesheni, the way to do Hachroza was, when everybody came to, they didn't have newspaper, they didn't have TV, they didn't have radio, so the way to do Hachroza was, you save him, you give him the death penalty in a Beis Din in Yerushalayim, and everybody's going to be Oiler Ego, everybody. Not everybody, but big, many, many thousands, tens of thousands of people are going to be Oiler Ego. So that's a way to notify all the people. Today you'll notify by printing in the newspapers and putting on the news. So that's an interesting din of Hachroza. We usually assume that Oynash Misa is a punishment al the Shoava because the fellow did an Aver. What about Malkus? That's a question. I think we spoke about it. The Maharal Prague has a commentary on Pirish Rashi al Torah. That's called the Gur Aryeh. He explains difficulties in Rashi, like the Mizrahi, like a lot of many, many Svarim, over 100 Svarim, commentaries on Pirish Rashi al Torah. Over 100 Svarim. So the Gur Aryeh raises the question regarding Malkus. Is Malkus a punishment l'sho'ovar? Because the person did an aver, he ate chasa, so he deserves malchus, or is it supposed to serve as a deterrent for the future? Misa, we don't assume. Misa is to serve as a deterrent. He's going to be dead. He won't be able to be bought leishazish anymore. That's not to serve as a deterrent. That's a punishment, because he did an aver. But maybe malchus is to serve as a deterrent. So that's what the Maharal Prague thinks, that the pasuk by Shivcha Harufa says, Bikoris Tihya, that the boil Shivcha Harufa gets, the boil Shivcha Harufa is Chayiv Oshom, Beim Shogig Beim Meza is Chayiv Oshom, and the Shivcha Harufa gets Malkus, she gets Malkus, and he's Chayiv, Hashem Shivcha Harufa. So the Pasuk says Bikoris Tihya, so the Torah Shemal Peh interprets that word, Bikoris, a difficult word. So the Torah Shemal Peh interprets to mean Bikroite, we should recite the Psukim. Bezdin would administer Malkus, so the Rosh HaBezdin would recite the Psukim, encouraging the person to do tshuva. So the why did the Torah use such an expression, Bikroite? Why doesn't it say, you give Malkus? Why does it describe it? Recite the Psukim. Read him the riot act. Why does it read him? So he says he's the Mashmos of the Pasuk, it would appear that Malkus is for the purpose of serving as a deterrent. So that's what the Maharal Prague says. The Kroitehe is the definition of what Malkus is all about. Malkus is always to serve as a deterrent, that the person shouldn't do the other against it. That's why the main part of the Malkus is that while we're giving him the pech, while we're giving the Malkus, we recite the Pesukim of Chumash, everyone should do tshuva. So that's what some point out, that these are bot tzrich machroze, these four will need a hachroze. It would appear as if the oynash misa is really to serve, it's not to serve as a deterrent for them, they're going to be dead. Nothing to talk about deterrents. To serve as a deterrent for the rest of the community. They're not really getting a punishment for the avera that they did. We're giving them the death penalty to impress upon the rest of the community. No one should repeat this aver. Serve as a deterrent for others. So that's why there's room to argue the point. You have to check. There seem to be some Rishonim, not all the Rishonim would agree, that these four people do not need Hasra. You only need Hasra. You need Hasra right before the person does the avera to ascertain that the person did the avera. Amazing. Of course he did. No, he knows what he's doing. It's a kula. We say, if he didn't give Asra right away, we label the Avera as if it was done b'shoigeg. That's only by Medvar Mamorim, if the Einish that the person gets is l'sho'ovar, an Einish for the Avera that he did. But if it's the death penalty that he gets, is only to impress upon the Tzibur, that to serve as a deterrent for the others, v'chol yisrael yishmu v'rov, lo yizid denayit, then there's room to argue the point and say that you don't need Hasra. So the Gemara says that the Zalkan Mamre does need Asra. There is, the Rasam Rishonim say that all four. The Gemara, Edim Zalim don't need Asra, that's a Gemara in Ksubis. And Mesis, it sounds in the Gemara that you don't need Asra. Other Rishonim disagree. The simple reading Gemara, you don't need Asra. Then Mitzvah Gemara is a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. whether they need whether the kid needs Asra. So the Rasa Mishanim hold that all four, the Abot, Tzirich, Machroza, all four of them don't need Hasra. We said a few times this week, we're going to continue in that topic some more, that there are four different areas of Halacha. There's Mamas, Nefashis, Dovish Abiyev, and Isurim. So Nefashis is a Pasuk, in the beginning of today's Al Pishnai, made him Al Shlosh Eidim Yumas Ameis. You need two Eidim for Nefashis. Then you have a Pasuk later. It really sounds as if it's talking about Nefashis also. Don't believe in Erecha, but he's ascertaining that someone did an Avera. So it sounds like an Avera for which he get Misa or Malkus or something. Sounds like Dini Nefasha. But then the Pasuk says, Al Pishnei Eidim, Al Pishlosh Eidim Yochum Dov. And the Gemara said the Pasuk goes on Mominus. Problematic. How does it read with the previous Pasuk? Yochum Erecha Yishal Cholav and Cholchat and Cholchaita Sheyechta. That's the same Pasuk. That sounds like it's talking about an Einish. Then you say the second half of the pasuk goes on Mominus. That's a problem. That's what the Gemara says. Yoch Medover goes on Mominus. Then you have the third pasuk is Kimotzebo Ervas Dover. The man got married, and he's not happily married because he ascertained that his wife was Mazana. She's a Soit Al Sur Al Bailo. So you learn how Dover Dover me Momin. Here it says Dover regarding Dini Mominus. The Gemara says this pasuk goes on Mominus. That's the Gemara, the end of Gittin, the very end of Gittin. And by Dov Shepiyeva it says Kimotzim Ervas Dava 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 Me Mamin. That's how you know that Dov Shepiyeva needs two Edim. So these three areas, Maminus, Nefashis, Dov Shepiyeva need two Edim, and Erechadem and Bisurim. That's because we're up to that Gemara. Erechadem and Bisurim. That's the fourth area. A lot of people say, I think it's written in Svarim also, and a few Svarim they have it. How come by Maminus it says Al Pishnei Edim? Al Pishlosh Eidim. The Gemara interprets Yochum Dabba goes on Mominus. And here by Nefasha it says Al Pishnaim Eidim, Al Pishlosh Eidim. How come here it says Shnaim, there it says Shnei? So Shnaim means a pair of Eidim. Shnei means two Eid Echots. So that's Takadidin. The Mishnah in Makkas at the end of the first parak says that's called Eidis Mircheres. If you have a case, let's say I say, You crashed into my automobile and you made me a hefset of $1,000. So Bezin says, bring witnesses. I bring two witnesses. One witness was looking, watching from one window. The other witness was watching from the other window. The same accident, but the witnesses were not aware of each other at the time they were watching. They didn't see each other. They weren't aware of each other. So by Mamanus, the din is, Eris Mircheres is good. And Erecha with another Erecha, that's called Al Pishnei Edim. Two Erechas are good. The Gemara even says, Halva achar halva is mitzdarfim. Let's say, I say that you owe me $200. I lent you $100 last week, and I lent you $100 2 weeks ago, and I want the $200. I want both. So I have to bring two edim on that halva, two edim on this halva. What if I only succeed in bringing erechar on the one halva and erechar on the other halva? So the Gemara says, Halva achar halva mitzdarfim. Achleg zatanoim. We paskan halva achar halva mitzdarfim. Two erechards are good. Two Eid Echads are good. I say, I want $200. I lent you $100 last week, and I lent you another $100 2 weeks ago, so I want both. If I only tell about one of them, and I say, the other one never happened, then that's not going to help. An Eid Echad is going to say, I contradicted Eid Echad. But if I say that both halvos took place, halvo $100 2 weeks ago, and halvo $100 last week, and I want both of the $100 halvos, I want you to pay back both. But I only succeed in getting an erechad on one halva, an erechad on the other halva, then the din is that halva, halva, mitzvah, two erechads are good. In the foshas, it's no good. Let's say two eidim will say, the fellow is machal Shabbos on Parshas Bereishis. One will say it's machal Shabbos on Parshas Shmos. You can't be mitzvah them together. Even if they're saying, we were watching from the window, they were both machal Shabbos. They both say he was Machal Shabbos. They're talking about the same incident at 1:15 on Shabbos afternoon, but one was watching from one window. Echad roi Machal and Zeh, Echad roi Machal and Zeh, Ein Shteim roi Zeh Zeh. So the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Lo Yumas Al Pi Erechot. It says in the beginning of the Parsha. Where is it? Al Pishnayim Eidim, Al Pishlosh, Enim Yumas Hameis, Lo Yumas Al Pi Erechot. The Gemara says, it says you need two or three, so obviously one is less than two or three, So one is no good. So what do you need the last phrase in the pasuk? Do you masa pied echod? So Gemara interprets echod echod, singular, individual edim. If it's edus miyuchedes, it's not mitzarf yachad for the purpose of nefoshes. So by the Mabul it says that Noach was instructed to take shneim shneim mikol basar. Shneim shneim means a pair. It doesn't mean two. It means a zohar nekeva. Shneim means a pair. Shnei means two. It doesn't mean a pair. So by Mamnes it says al pi shnei edim. You need two eid echods. By nefoshes it says al pi shneim edim, because you need a tzirah between the two edim. It has to be shneim roim ka'achad. So that's what a lot of people say like that, and it appears in Svarim. That's what led the Tanoim to understand that the one pasuk that it says shneim is talking about nefoshes, and the pasuk that it says shnei is talking about mamnes. Anyway, that's the gemara that we're up to. Eid echanem v'yisurim, as opposed to the other three cases, dovish b'yerva, mamnes, and nefoshes, there you need two edim. Then you have the Talmidei HaGro'a quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, commenting on the pasuk in today's Sedri, Ki poli mimcha dovel ha-mishpa bein dam ledam bein din ledin bein nega la-nega di be-riris b'sharecha. If there'll be a machloikis among the poskim and it's causing friction in the community because ripping apart the community in the same city, half of the people hold one way, half of the people hold the other way regarding halacha. If it's in two different cities or two different batei midrashes, two different shuls in the community, one shul they follow the psak of their rabbi, the other shul they follow the psak of the other rabbi, so there's no friction. So it gives them to hey, let me have a day with the kimchaim, not a problem. But if it's causing divya rivis b'sharech, it's within the same shul or the same family, half of them are following one, it's causing friction, then you have no choice, you have to present the shayla to the Bez Nagon, whatever they pass, and everybody has to follow. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, that the pasuk mentions three areas of halacha, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lanega. So they quote, kan kilo la haTorah, kol gimel chelke haTorah. All of halacha is divided into three categories. Bein dam ledam means isa veheta, whether it's dam nida or dam tohar, that's isa veheta. Bein din ledin is dini mamanis. Bein nega lanega is tuma vetara. The three areas of halacha. They really should, instead we have shisha sidrei mishnah. There really should have been, three Sidrei Mishnah. It should have been the Zikin, should be one. And then there should have been, the Zikin is Din Ledin. Then you should have had Taris, another one. That's Nega LaNega, Tumah V'Taris, the second area. And then Zroim, Moed, and Noshim, and Kochim should really be one Issa V'Heta. So Kochim, we know the Gemara tells us Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Pam are not exactly the same. A Kochim is in Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara Zvachim has long discussions that Ein Lamedim Lamed Med Alamed. If you have a Hekish, the Gemara has long discussions when it applies and when it doesn't apply. Let's say I learned that Din B is learned out from A, either by Kal V'Chaim or Hekish or Xerishov or something. Then I want to learn from B to C. So Kol HaTorah Kula, that's called Lamedim Lamed Men Alamed, that's legitimate. If you have a limud to learn B from A, then you can go further and learn C from B, then you can learn D from C. Each one has a Hekesh or Yalfusa somehow, then you learn one from the other. And in Kochim, Ein Lamedim Lamed Men Alamed. So if the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpam are different, means it seems to indicate that it's a separate area of Halacha. So we understand why Kochim is a different section. How come there are Shisha Sidrei Mishnah though? There should only be the three. Should be Issa V'Heta should be one, Nezikin should be one, and Tara should be one, and Kochim should be one. How come we divided the others up? So that's a good question. Anyway, the Gemara has two klolim based on this assumption. The Gemara has Yisur Mimamoina Lo Yafinam. All the dinim within Issa V'Heta, all the dinim within Tumah V'Tahara, all the dinim within Dini Mamanis, all blended together to make one big pattern. So, but Issa V'Heta and Dini Mamanis are not part of the same pattern. Each one has its own pattern. And Tumah V'Tahara also has its own. So we have two klolim. Mamanim Yisura Lo Yafinam, because Mamanis is one area and Issa V'Heta is another area. And Issa Mitumah Lo Yafinam. That's a Gemara in Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza. Each one is a separate area of halacha. So that's what they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Herman Wook taught here in yeshiva before my time. I wasn't yet a student in yeshiva. He taught in college for 2 years. So he told the students at that time that he wrote the book, The Cain Mutiny. His grandfather was had a shtibel in the Bronx. I remember when I lived by my grandparents in the Bronx, my family lived in Pennsylvania, and there wasn't a day school for me after the fifth grade, so my parents sent me to New York to learn in the yeshiva. So down the block from my grandparents' apartment was this shtiebel, Herman Wook's grandfather. So he said that he wrote the book, The Cain Mutiny, was based on the Rashi, on the Pasuk, L'sos melhokam, kol adovash yagid lecho yam, and smol afilo yamin shu smol. Even if the Rabbanim make a mistake, the Pesach is binding anyway. That's what he made a mistake, and he misunderstood the Rashi. He thought that that's what it says. He said that's the theme of his book, The Cain Mutiny, that authority is binding even when it's an error. You have to listen to the captain of the ship, even if he doesn't know what he's talking about. The students told him that it's not correct, that the first Mishnah in Horiyah says, Beferish not so. If the whole Bez Nagodl made a mistake, and someone knows that they made a mistake, you're not allowed to follow the Bez Nagodl. You're not allowed to follow them. The only time the Pesach is binding, when it's an error, there's only one area. There are 613 mitzvahs. According to the Rambam, there's only one mitzvah where the Pesach is binding, even if it's an error. Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShana. The Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. The Baha counts it as two mitzvahs. So by Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShana, the Gemara says, Pesach is, Elam Yad HaShem HaShetikru Osam. That's in Parshas Emor, no? Ashitikwa Osam. And three times it's spelled Chosavav. It's spelled Aleph Tav Mem. Instead of being spelled Aleph Vav Tav Mem, it's spelled Choser. So the Tanoim and the Sifra, Darshan, all three times, Atem. Atem Afilu Mutim. Even if the Bez Nagadol made a mistake, the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Ibrashana is Chal, is binding, even though it's an error. But by the other 612 mitzvahs, there is no such thing. A Pesach and error is not binding. So that's the first one who raised the issue was the, in print, was the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs raises this kasha. How come the Sifra, this Rashi quotes the Sifra here, Yamin Shu Smol, Al Smol Shu Yamin, even if the Bez made a mistake, it's against the first Mishnah in Arias. How could it be? So the Ramban answers in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Ramban HaChumash is problematic. Ramban HaChumash says, on this Pasuk, Yamin Shu Smol, as the din says, Atem Afilu Mutim. Atem Afilu Mutim is only one mitzvah. About Kiddush HaChodesh, Ibra HaShana, doesn't apply to the other 612 mitzvahs. What did Rabban quote that as a mashal? It's not a mashal. That's the one and only case where the Pesach is an error and it's still binding. So that's the Rabban HaChumash is problematic. But the Rabban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs answers as follows. He thinks the correct girsa in the Sifrei should be, and even if it's not the correct girsa, but that's what it means, Afilu Nirim Bi'enecho, and the layman thinks that the psak of the rabbi doesn't make any sense. If the layman would be a little more learned, he would understand why the psak does make sense. I remember once I used to go into the OU on Fridays to work on issues of kashrus. I remember once on a Friday, three people came to speak with Rabbi Ginnack, because Rabbi Ginnack was politically close to the governor of New Jersey, and they needed him to do a taiva for them with the governor. So they came to speak. So the taiva had to do with the fact that these three people all produced, their business was that they prepared the food for the animals who are going to be slaughtered for, what do you call it? When they shech, they don't give the animals, they don't give the animals normal food, so the animals don't develop muscles. So the meat is very, very soft. It goes on your throat like butter. What do you call that name? I forgot what you call it.
Veal.
So how come it doesn't develop muscles? Because they give it special diet. So it turns out that the special diet that they give it is sometimes basar b'chol of their eyes. And that's all they feed it the whole time. They fatten up the animal. And in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes that. It's a Tosfos in Tmurim. There are more quotes, and the Mechaber doesn't paskin like the Rambam against Tosfos. Mechaber paskin like the Rambam that it's mutter, but there are more paskin like the Tosfos. Behema, shenis patma kol yemechayehu b'isuri hanoa, you're not allowed to eat the flesh. It should be also to eat meat, veal. So Rabbi Gerak said, can you wait for a minute? So he asked me to come into the office, and then he asked these three people, they should say it over again. How do they prepare? What's the food? So he describes it. They take flesh, and they cook it with milk, and then they feed it to their calves, and then they don't develop muscles, and that's why the meat is very soft. So I was discussing with Rabbi Gerak, the possible call of their Isa, maybe we can solve the problem. Instead of cooking, they take Nevela meat. Instead of taking the vela from a kosher animal, maybe they can take chazer, maybe they can take pork and cook that in milk. And there's no issa basa b'chala by behemoth tomato. It's only by behemoth Torah. So Rabbi Ganak asks him, and if you cook it, let's say, in pork instead of cooking it with meat? So one of the three people says, but Rabbi, that's chazer. So we thought he wasn't Jewish. So it's chazer. So it comes out, he's not Jewish, but his wife is Jewish. So he knew what chazer was. So he says, that's worse, it's chazer. So we explained to him, no, the din of basa b'chala won't apply, it's kosher. So layman, he didn't know the din of he's a guy, he doesn't understand. He thought it's a kal b'chaimesh, it certainly be worse. If it's chazer with basa b'chala, it's worse. It's not worse. So that's what the Ramban says. I feel it near in the einecha, you mean shusmo. The layman will think that the psak of the rabbi doesn't make any sense. But if you know how to learn it, you should, you'll understand why there's a difference. So that's what the pasuk means. You should follow the psak of the bezin, even if you think that it doesn't make sense. But if you know they made a mistake, then you're not allowed to follow the psak. So that's where Herman Wulk made a mistake. He thought that the pasuk means to say that the psak of the rabbis is binding even when it's an error. And he understood it to mean authority is binding even when, even the captain of the ship. I think he passed away already, no? He's still alive, Herman Wulk. He lived to a very ripe old age, over 100, I think. Then the Parsha has in Sheni, the second Aliyah begins, Kisav al Haaretz, Asher Hashem al Kach Nasin Loch, V'yirishto V'yoshavta Bo, after Yerusha V'yishiva, it means after the Yud Dalet, Shevish Kopshim, Shevish Chilku. The Amarto Asim Alai Melech, Kholagam Asher Sviva. So Santos Malach and Melech. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Gimel Mitzvahs and Stavi Yisrael, Bichnisosim Laoretz. It starts off Sheni, it starts off Kisaval Haoretz. So Gimel Mitzvahs, the Jewish people became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs only after they entered Eretz Yisrael. So the three mitzvahs have to be fulfilled in this specific order. And the Rama quotes that Gemara said, and Dav Chof and the base, the Rama quotes it, the opening, Perak Aleph, Alach Aleph, and Hilchas Melochim. The first mitzvah is Laham Elohim Melech, second mitzvah is Lachar Zarah Shel Amolek, and the third mitzvah is Livnas Beis HaBchira. So the Sefer HaChinuch quotes that Gemara, and he says, what do you mean, Kisavoy El HaOretz? You need Bias Kulchem, means a majority of the Jewish people. Commentary said, then you're obligated, Laham Elohim Melech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael, and any country has to have an army, a standing army to protect them, and then the army has to be l'achli zarish al amalek, and then what will be peaceful, and there won't be any amalek, there won't be any trouble anymore, then livnas lehem beis abchirim. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, you have to have Rabbi Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. So how do they, so the Mefarshim asks, how do they have the obligation to build the second Beis HaMikdash? Hardly anybody was in Eretz. So the Ruba of the Jews was still in Babel. So they say, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, you have to say that it was merely Hayru Ashur. Mikra Din, the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash is only when Rabbi Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael. And you don't have Rabbi Yisrael. They had Chagas Chai Malachi. The three Nevi'im came. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Bnei Yisrael because they had the opportunity to return back to Eretz Yisrael. Hardly anybody came back. So that's why the Gemara interprets the psukim in Shir Hashirim. I think we spoke about it. The Gemara interprets the psukim. So the punishment was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to send any more Nevi'im to give Musa, to give Tochacha. But Gimel Nevi'im he had to send. Gimel Nevi'im Alim Amba, because if he would have not have sent the Gimel Nevi'im, Chagas Chai Malach, they wouldn't be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Tanoim Darshan and the Pasuk in this week's Sedra, in Parshas Re'eh, L'shichtan sidrushu uvaso shama drosh al pi navi. When you want to build the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have authorization from a navi. So each one of the three navim, Chagas HaMalachi, each one gave a nevuah about a different aspect of the building of the Bayis Sheni. So the whole mitzvah of building the Bayis Sheni, according to the Sefer Achinuch, the Pashtus is like the Sefer Achinuch. But it says, Kisav el Haaretz. Gimel mitzvah, and the Tzavisol Bichni Sosam Laaretz. That's the Loshan HaGemara. And the three mitzvahs have to be fulfilled in that order. I remember right after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, there was such euphoria, so a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael Tanya have to build the Beis HaMikdash right away. Rav Soloveitchik said right away, he doesn't think at all. They were still concerned about the Arabs. They were so worried about the Arabs. They gave back the keys to the Har Bayis. They gave the Arabs a lot of shlit on the Har Bayis. They were still afraid. The only time you have a chiv to build a Beis HaMikdash is when it's peaceful and everything. You're not worried about any terrorism. Now they're still worried about it. Every day there are terrorists in Eretz Yisrael. There's no chiv to build a Beis HaMikdash, so it's going to be completely peaceful. Then the Torah has the special mitzvahs of the Melech, Le'arbala Susim, Le'arbala Noshim, Kesel Zov, Le'arbalo. Then it has another din. He has the chiv to Akisei Mamlachtoi. The Gemara interprets Mishnah HaTorah as second copy, Sefer Torah Sheni. Every Jewish person has an obligation to write one Sefer Torah. Kisvu lechem as Hashira HaZois. Everyone has an obligation to write one Sefer Torah. And the Melech has an obligation to write an additional Sefer Torah. And this, the Sefer Torah, the additional Sefer Torah Shem Melech, he should carry with him all the time. So it has to be a light Sefer Torah, not the heavy one. The one that everybody has an obligation to have, that's a Jewish library. You can leave it at home. But the one that the Melech, the second Sefer Torah, Mishnah Torah, the Sefer Torah Sheni, he should take it with him all the time. Hoyz the Imo, should keep it with him all the time. The Korah Bal Kol Yemei Chayov, the Rambam writes, Bayom or Balaylo, because Yemei Hayamim Kol Yemei Halelos. So the Rambam understood the Pasuk to mean, Kol Yemei Chayov, he's supposed to read a little bit by Yom, a little bit by Lailo. And it says that the Sefer Torah that he writes should be the Kosovolos Mishnah Torah Zos al Sefer Milifnei HaKohanim HaLeviim. What does that mean? He should write down the Sefer Torah Milifnei HaKohanim HaLeviim. What does it mean? So the Rama quotes the Tosefta that explains it, that whenever you write a Sefer Torah, you have to copy it from an already existing Sefer Torah. Practices, you have a Sefer Torah in front of you, and then you say Bereishis Bara Lekim, then you write. Then you say Es Hashamayim Es Haaretz, then you write that. You read from the old Sefer Torah, then you copy it. So the Sefer Torah Shel Melech, the Rambam quotes it to Sefta, has to be copied from the Sefer Azara. The Kosovolos Mishnah Torah Zos Milifnei HaKohanim Halviim. The Sefer Torah that's in the Azara that the Kohanim and the Levim are in charge of. Special status. Sefer Azara has a special status. Tosfos in the first Perek in Bava Basra quotes Rashi, that Rashi says that Hakel, when the Melech lays Hakel on Chalamoid Sukkot following Shnas HaShmita, he has to lane for the Sefer Azor. The same thing Rashi holds. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has a special mitzvah, Kriyas HaTorah. He has to lane for the Sefer Azor. Tosfos doesn't see any hechrich for either of the two Rashis, but that's what Rashi says. So the Sefer Torah Shel Melech is supposed to be copied from the Sefer Azor. And the Torah has a special mitzvah. It's not limited only to the Melech. The Melech's gedula may go to his head. So the Torah says, "Levilta yirum levava meyachav." Shouldn't become a bal gaiva. So the Rishonim say it applies to every person. If you're good looking, if you're very smart, if you're very rich, if you have something that other people don't have, you're the king. So whatever you have, the others don't have, they go to your head. So there's an Issa, Levilti Rum Levavim Yechov, shouldn't become a Balgaiva. the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs takes issue with around 20 mitzvahs. Says say that the Ramban counted around approximately 20 mitzvahs. Lo says he deletes them and he has to replace them with other mitzvahs, because the Gemara tells us, and the Midrashim tell us, that there are 248 mitzvahs I say, 365 mitzvahs lo says say. So if you're going to delete 20 mitzvahs I say, 20 mitzvahs I say, you have to replace them with others. So Ramban gives you a list at the end of the mitzvahs, the listing of the mitzvahs I say that the Rambam has. So the Ramban has a list of around 20 some odd mitzvahs that he adds on to replace those that he deleted from the list of the Rambam. So one of them, mitzvahs essay Dalit, is one of the more famous ones, that the Ramban says that to live in Eretz Yisrael constitutes a mitzvah. Rashta Maso Eretz v'yishavtem bo, says in the end of Chumash Bavidbo. Rashta Maso Eretz means we should grab hold of Eretz Yisrael, we should establish a Jewish government. The Yishavtem bo, we should all live in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, how come the Ramban didn't count that mitzvah? So the Knesset HaGdolah writes that Rambam holds that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only midirabbanan. That's very difficult. The Pashto says that it's a mitzvah in HaTorah. Even the Rambam agrees. So why didn't he count it? So different suggestions are given. So basically what the answer is, the Rambam holds that it's included in some other mitzvah. Which other mitzvah is included in? So some say because Eretz Yisrael has more hashgacha pratis than the rest of the world, Tomid Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mireishis Hashana Ad Achri Shana. The Gemara said this, Tainis, the Gemara said Tainis, the more Hashgacha Protis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz La'aretz. So the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael should be included in the mitzvah of Avoy Sidbo. You should become close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way to come close is to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what some say. Other commentaries say that the Rambam probably agrees with the Ramban's comment on Chumash, that the Ikam Mokam for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. So there's no need to count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a prat within the mitzvah of Shabbos, a prat within the mitzvah of Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha and Lulav and Sukkah and Shofar. Every mitzvah is enhanced if you do the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. So it's included in the other 613 mitzvahs. You don't need another mitzvah. Every mitzvah is enhanced. The Ikam Mokam for Shmiras HaMitzvah, Eretz Yisrael. Many other suggestions are given. So the Avnei Nezer was a genius. Avnei Nezer was a genius. Everything he has is all charifis. He quotes the pasuk in Terei Sedra, Hachreim Tachreimim. We have the mitzvah to wipe out the Zionumis. So he shows a klal, the klal he got from others. The Rambam has in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam develops, he has 14 klolim, 14 guiding principles that determine whether any mitzvah belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs or not. So the ninth klal is one of the more famous ones, not all so well known. The ninth one is more famous. The Rambam holds that when there's a kefal HaMitzvah, mitzvah is repeated several times in the Chumash, you don't count it several times. Only counted once. And even though it's many times, you don't get many times Malkus, it's just repeated for emphasis. You only get once Malkus. Tosfos disagrees. Most of the Shonim disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam holds like that. So then the Avnei Nezer quotes from earlier Svarim that even if you have two mitzvahs that are not a repeat, even if you have two mitzvahs that are different, but one mitzvah is in order to lead up to the other mitzvah, so the Rambam holds that's also called the kefal mitzvah, and you don't count that as two. So the Avnei Nezer says, what's the mitzvah? Hachrim tachrimim. We should put together a Jewish army and wipe out the Zionumas and then move back to Muncie, then move back to Washington Heights. That doesn't make sense. No, hachrim tachrimim. And when we wipe out the Zionumas, then we should live in Eretz Yisrael. So of course there's a mitzvah, but Yishavtem Bo. But the Rambam didn't count it as two mitzvahs, because that would be a kefal mitzvah, since he already counted Hachrim Tachrimim. And the purpose of Hachrim Tachrimim is in order to lead up to the fact that we'll be living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam held it, that was a kefal mitzvah. Interesting suggestion. the very end of today's Sedra, I'm leaving out the 95% of the Sedra, at the very end of today's Sedra, you have the mitzvah of Egla Arufa, only applies in Eretz Yisrael, Kei Matzei Chola Ba'adom Asher, Sham Lekach Nosan Lucha L'Rishta, doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. They have a few mitzvahs that only apply in Eretz Yisrael, even though they're not agricultural mitzvahs. Trumas HaMaisa, Shmita V'yevam, Leket Shikhapeh, Peret Ololos, those are all agricultural mitzvahs. That only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But you have a din, smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Kiddush HaChodesh can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. Egor Arufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes, the Avnei Nezer has this, the Rambam writes in a few places that these mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael because these mitzvahs depend on, are given to Klal Yisrael. And the concept of Klal Yisrael only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz have a Kedushas Yisrael, the Chayim mitzvahs, but they're not part of Klal Yisrael. So this mitzvah of Egla Rufa, if you find a Jewish body, it was murdered, lo noda mihiko, you don't know who killed him. So the Bez Nagal has to send representatives, the mother do. They have to measure from, they don't bury the body, they leave the body until the Bez Nagal sends the representatives. They have to leave the body where he was murdered, where he's dead. You have to measure from the body. You can't just make a mark where the body was. You have to leave the body till the Bez Nagal measures, to the cities that are closest. In the city that's closest, we assume based on Karev, we assume that the murderer probably came from that city. So they have to bring an Egla Rufa. So then it says in connection, part of the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, that the Kohanim should recite Kapal Am Chesol Shel Padisa Hashem. Who says that? The Zikne Hoir. The Nikshu HaKodim and Elevi, the Kohanim should be saying, Kabbal Am Chisor Shel Padisa Hashem. Who is Am Chisor Shel Padisa Hashem? The Jewish people who were Niftim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was paid to the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. That's how the Gemara says, Ria Kaparizu Shetachaper Al Yetzim Mitzrayim. So this is the Rishi Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan, so once you have to say something from Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan has a chibur on Chosh HaMishpat. So he's bothered with a kasha. That we have a klal en kapara lameisim. A dead person can never get a kapara. So how can the Gemara say, when you bring an egla rufa, centuries after Yetzias Mitzrayim, thousands of years after, the Kohanim should say, kapara shel padis Hashem, the kapara should be chal, and the Yotze Mitzrayim, the Kapora is chal on all of Klal Yisrael, including the dead people. What happened to the Klal? Ein Kapora L'Mesim. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, Ein Kapora L'Mesim only goes on Achata Shemesa Bailel, on Oshem, Shemesu HaBailem. But Tosfos writes not so. There are Gemaras that it's not so. It's not restricted only to the Korban Chatas and Oshem, that you can Chatas and Oshem, not Bob and Edu and Dov. It's only, you can only bring it if you're going to get a Kapora. And if the person who did the aver is dead already, ein kapara lameisim. So Tosfos writes that it's not true. Tosfos writes, we are familiar with the fact that there are two different types of tashlumin. There's mammon and knas. Mordi b'knas potter, a lot of differences. But Tosfos points out, based on Gemara, a lot of Gemaras, that there are three categories. There's mammon and knas. The third category, that's called kapara. So Tosfos wants to know, what is unique about kapara? In what way is kapara different on the one hand from mammon and knas? So they give a list of six nafkaminas. The more than six, they collected all the gemaras. So one of the gemaras that they collected is ein kapara lameisim. If a shor hamud kills an adam, so the bala shor has to pay kofar. That's a pasuk in mishpatim. And the gemara says kufra kapara. The bala shor hamud pays kofar. That's, it's not mammon and it's not knas. It's kapara. So Tosfos wants to know. So what's kapara? So therefore, manishtana, what do you gain by labeling as kapara? So they give you a whole list of all the nafkaminim. One of them is, if the owner of the shor hamua dies before he had a chance to pay, you don't say nishtabdu hanachosim, and the children of the one who was killed by my shor hamua, I died before I paid the koifer. So if I owed money to other people, after I die, my yorshim who got my assets have to pay all the chayvus. Even though Bapele, Nigvus Minayoshim. But if I owed money The Torah is kapara, and kapara lameisim. So in kapara lameisim is a universal clause, not restricted only to chatas and oshim. How can the Gemara say, ruya kapara sushita kapara yotze mitzrayim? Kapara lameisim oshim padisa Hashem. How can it be? So Yitzchak Yohanan writes the following. He said, you can ask the same kasha by Mises Kain Gadol. If someone kills b'shogeg, you have to bury him, he has to go to the Ari Miklat. He stays in the Ari Miklat till the Kain Gadol dies. What if the person who killed b'shogeg dies before the Kain Gadol? So you're not allowed to, he didn't get his kapara yet. So you're not allowed to bury him in Kever Abba Isov, in the family plot. You have to bury him in the cemetery of the Ari Miklat. Then if 20 years later the Kohen Gadol dies, then he gets a kapara. The dead man gets a kapara. And then you can exhume the body and bury him the Kivri Abba Yisav. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yohanan asked, what happened to the Kohen Gadol kapara lameisim? So he said, oh, let's say on Yom HaKippurim. In America they call it Yom Kippur. In the Chumash it's called Yom HaKippurim in the plural. Why is it in the plural? So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes the Marival. He was centuries ago. 1400s, 1300s, I don't know. So the Marival says, it's a Loshen Rabbim, Yom HaKippurim, Kapar Lachaim, Kapar LaMesim. The Mesim also get a Kapar Yom Kippur, because it's Kaparas HaTzibur, like over here, the Egel Aruf is Kaparas HaTzibur, it's a Chavis HaTzibur, and the Tzibur includes all of Klal Yisrael, past, present, and future. Everybody's included. So the same Kasha, how can you have Yom Kippur and Mechapar LaMesim, and Kapar LaMesim? So Yitzchak Yohanan writes in his Sefer, on Choshen Mishpat, he thinks that the din ain kapara meisim is restricted to situations where the kapara is an individual kapara, only for this person. It's only for the meis. Then you say ain kapara meisim. But if the kapara is for many people, some of them are alive, some of them are dead. So since the living people get a kapara, so the dead people, there can be a kapara meisim as well. So the Mises Kohen Gadol is mechaper for a whole group of people. The Egel Aruf is mechaper for a whole group of people. Yom Kippur is mechaper for the Chaim. So once it's mechapa for the Chaim, it's mechapa for the Mason as well. Okay.